Who should you hire first? Today on the Football Coaches Podcast.
You're listening to the Football Coaches Podcast, built by coaches for coaches.
We're going to discuss X's and O's,
team administration,
program building,
wide receiver play,
player relationships,
your go-to resource.
I'm Coach Stockman.
And I'm Coach Kaysen. Let's work together to make us better.
So this topic came from a Twitter post that I saw a few days ago, and a guy posted it, and I really had a lot to say about it, and I'm actually going to read it real quick. It says, the offensive coordinator is the most important position on a football team. And then this person, I don't know who the name is, but they go on to say that I believe the offensive coordinator is the most important player or coaching position on a football team. The offensive coordinator is responsible for the plan that enables the team to score enough to win. And if a team cannot score, it cannot win. When a team cannot score, it minimizes the players, coaches, team supports, fans, and spectators. On the other side, great friend of my brother, Coach Kaysen.
What's going on, Coach?
And today, you know, we actually talk about this a lot, but it just we never really thought about to put it in this form. Mm-hmm. So today we're going to talk about it, but we're also going to give our top two. Not the people. I don't want to talk about people. I just want to talk about position. The first two positions that you call soon as they hand you the keys to the new ship, and you begin to drive the boat. All right, so...
I love lists. Like I love being given that ultimatum. I think we've done that a couple times in this podcast. I love that because you have to weigh and make decisions. I love it.
I want to give out a quick disclaimer. Ours may be the exact same, but
could be completely
for a great reason. It could be completely different. They could be the exact same, but for and we're going to explain.
We didn't pre-plan it, Coach. You have no idea what I'm going to say.
No, we didn't. We did. I'm kind of nervous because. I think I know what you're going to say, but at the same time, I'm still like, yeah. They may be same.
All right, so I love this kind of ultimatum, and I think essentially the question is what is the most important, you know, who is the most important coach other than the head coach on your staff? Basically, correct? That's kind of Absolutely. How I kind of get phrased in a way. All right, so mine has there's a 1A, 1B, and it's going to be a cop-out in a way, but it's only if 1A doesn't exist, I'm going to pick 1B. 1A for me, and you're probably not expecting it, Coach. For me, if you can have it, and he's really good, is a strength and conditioning coach.
Ah. Oh, man.
I don't think you expected me to say that.
I didn't. You heard me say because... I thought you said DB coach.
No, not a DB coach. Nah,
all right.
Okay. No, not a DB coach. DB coaches are great. Don't disparage DB coaches. I'm over here trying to learn from a ton of them, and you're over here disparaging
them on the pod.
Like,
they're very important because
every position is important. But here's why I say strength and conditioning, because what happens this is especially important at the college level, but even at the big high school level, is that this coach works with your kids. The head coach and this coach work with your kids every single day. They get them a lot more than all the other coaches. Even if all the other coaches come to workouts, do all these things, they get them. The second part is we need big and strong and fast kids, okay? We need kids that can perform, okay? We need kids that can perform. We need the best kids, right? No matter what, the best kids coach well, going to win.
Mm-hmm.
To have the best kids, they got to be big, strong, and fast, okay?
Mm-hmm.
To get big, strong, and fast, they have to go to the weight room. The weight room also builds confidence. Mm-hmm. It also builds team. What you're gonna have, you're gonna find out who your guys are. Okay, because
mm-hmm.
them weights, the numbers don't lie. The weights
don't
lie to you. Okay, you know they can't. They you know two you know 275 doesn't pick up itself. You know what I'm saying? That it's a great spot to compete. And at the same time, build team-building abilities. Now, I'm going to let Coach say his, because if I don't, I'm going to steal it, because it's my 1B. So, okay. Coach, go ahead and give me your one.
All right, okay. So, Me being me, if you know, you listen to the podcast, you know I'm an O-line coach. So the first guy, if I'm a head coach and I am not the O-line coach, all right, I am calling an O-line coach first. That is the first phone call I make, other than me calling and telling my wife, my mom, or whoever that I just got the keys, I'm new head coach, I am picking up the phone and I am calling O-line coaches. Because in this world of football, I don't care what you do, I don't care what type of offense you are, spread, wing T, I don't care what you do in football. If you do not have an O-line and a center that can play, that can move people, not even move people, that can be aggressive and be productive, you're not going to win ball games. I don't care what type of offense you run. I don't care what you do. If you do not have a five guys who are physical enough, strong enough, and smart enough based on what they've been coached to do, you're not going to win games. And that's where it starts, is finding an O-line coach who understands you as a head coach, first off, because there's plenty of head and O-line coaches, and we're all different. We all have different beliefs. That's one thing. So you got to find somebody who is on the same path that you are, and you guys think alike, you know, especially if you're a defense receptive coach. You know, you got to find somebody on the other side of the ball that can make your life a lot easier, you know. So, you know, the first person I'm calling, if I'm not the O-line coach, I am calling an O-line coach. That's so, my one.
So I agree. That was going to be my 1B. And I'll start it. My reasoning starts from a numbers look. If you think about it, if you break up all the positions, say you have 10 guys in your staff and a head coach, so you have 10 assistants, and you break up all the positions, O-line is going to have the position is going to have the, you know, the O-line coach is going to be overhead of the most players by pure numbers of any coach. If you think about it, it's 5 O-linemen. Mm-hmm. All right, there's only 1 quarterback. At best, there's 2 running backs. If there's more than 2 running backs, you probably have a up back and a back back coach, like a, you know, like a flex mm-hmm. bone. You have a wing and a you have mm-hmm. a slot and a regular back coach, correct?
Yes.
At most, you know, a receivers coach at most can have 4, maybe 5, but typically it's a running back that mm-hmm. goes out there to be an empty, or you know, you're in a situation where you always have 4. They typically break those guys into 2. So you have a slot receiver and an outside receivers coach. That's mm-hmm. how that happens. You go to the defense. You know, the only way it would be the same is if you ran a true 5 down front, and not many people do because of the offenses they see. And if they do, it's not their base. Like, some people run it, and it's not their base.
Right.
Yeah. So it's typically 4-3. All right. And regardless of how it is for linebackers, it's the same. And we're at the point that a lot of those outside backers are going to be taught by the DB. One of those outside backers is going to be taught by the DB coach. So now you're getting anywhere from 3 to 4, you know, sometimes even 2, like an inside backers coach just has 2 guys,
mm-hmm.
you know, in some situations that's only 2. So if you go to DB, you know, even if we're not splitting it up, you go to DB, it's typically 4 to 5, at most 5, but it's what happens is, you know, there's help there. But the offensive line coach, the big fat tubby coach, it's always out there that yells and seems like he's in a stubborn mood. He's got 5 dudes that he has to worry about. So every time you go and go, why is coach always yelling? Why is he so fat? Why does he look so sloppy? Why is he so angry? That's a lot of stress. That's a lot of stress. 5 dudes. All right. And I think it starts for me is if you want to include the pass game, you have to include the O-line.
Yes, most definitely.
You have to, because if you draw, you can draw up whatever you want, but we're not playing flag football. Somebody got to block or your quarterback's going to be dead.
And it's funny you said it, because you, me being, you know, sometimes other than the O-line coach, you said to me all the time as well, because you drawed up all this stuff, but can you protect it? And I said, yeah.
Well, I
throw that out the window.
You show me a pass concept, I start with, what is the protection? That's me being a defensive line guy, because if I can sack your behind, you ain't going to get thrown.
You're not going to throw the ball.
That's me being a defensive guy anyway. So, but if you want to do a run game, any run game, you have to include the offensive line. They have to be successful for it to be good. I promise you. I've seen some of the best backs in the world. I've seen world-class backs get bottled up because the defensive line is suffocating the offensive line. It's winning that battle. There's not many, there's no plays. There's no, other than at the higher levels when we get to the quarterback, there's not a single position that impacts a play more than those five guys at all. So that's why I would say you need a knowledgeable guy. All right, if he's – so I'll give you a question since we're on it, we're sitting here. Would you rather your O-line coach or your quarterback coach, given they said the same – maybe not the same exact intelligence isn't a good word, but prerequisites to,
knowledge
to,
or, I get
to be – yeah, the knowledge to be your OC, who would you rather have, the Q coach or the O-line coach? Try not to be biased.
Okay, so it's – So me being a guy who, O-line coach, I like to run the ball, I'm not going to lie to you, but I need an O-line coach to be able to, if I want to run the ball, then I think the O-line coach should be that guy. Now, I like it where I'm still seeing a lot more, and I think I am in that position now where you have a guy who does nothing but run game.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes the quarterback coach and, the fancy guys, the fancy people, they forget about the little nuances of running the ball.
Oh, yeah.
They forget the details. And I say it all the time now when people talk about running games, I ask a lot of questions. I'm like, what if this happens? Or we get the famous, when we play block harder. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
And I think that kind of, to me, I would actually, and I kind of, where you started leaning is where I go. I would pick, if they're the same, the quarterback coach, because the quarterback coach needs to have a great relationship with the O-line coach and right. O-line that he can trust. And this guy, so now it's an even split on who own the ownership of teaching. Whereas you got five guys in the O-line and then you have five eligibles and then, five guys on the O-line for the O-line coach and then five eligibles for the coordinator to help work with, including, and then once you add in the quarterback, six and five is a lot better than
now,
11.
I don't know if this is in the question, I'm not sure, but the play calling part, that don't bother me. I don't care who does that, the actual scheming of it and the actual, game planning to run the ball, I just believe, an O-line, that should be the O-line coach's responsibility, because every time no matter if I was calling plays or whatever, the first thing I'm looking at as soon as I hit play on the film is, all right, what is these five guys on front doing?
Yeah.
That's the first thing my eyes go to.
Okay. So let's move it to number two. You get to go first once more.
Ooh, number two. So, all right. So we got the run parts, the fat guy started. And like the post that we read at the beginning say, scoring points is great. We love scoring points. But if I'm scoring points and other teams score points, and we all know the way the game football works, sometimes it's the last person who has the ball sometimes wins the game, then I just lost the game because I haven't stopped anybody. I need to find a defensive coordinator. I need to find a guy who I can trust, who, especially me being an offensive guy, who I can say, you have the keys to the defensive side of the ball. You do what you do, and when we come to talk, I just need to know this, that, and this. If I like it, we go with it, but I got to find a guy who can run 11 people on the side of defense, have faith in what he's doing, understanding if this happens, then you need to do this, or, be able to make corrections, I guess, gotcha. On the fly, is the word. I need a DC more than a receivers coach or a running backs coach or, I'm not downplaying any of them, but I need a DC.
Love it. I will say that my number two, it is what you said, but it's not defense coordinator. It is it's where I'm weak at. Wherever I need the guy that wherever I'm weak at, he makes up. So for you, you're not, not to say you're not intelligent on defense, but you say it's not your passion and it's right. You don't wake up thinking of how to run fit stuff and things of that nature. You don't think of, that doesn't go through your head. So your opening would be defensive coordinator in my eyes. I would feel exactly the same way you said. Well, whoever that guy is for you, it needs to be devil's advocate is too strong of a word, but mm-hmm. kind of like your yang, your yin to your yang.
Yeah.
It has to be that guy And for a lot of people, if I'm an offensive guy, it probably is going to be my defensive coordinator. Here's the thing about the defensive coordinator and offense in the offensive relationship that I think is more important than even having, you know, saying the defensive coordinator is second most important. The offensive scheme and the defense you play must match. Is what happens. What because what happens is when they don't match, you end up harming the defense. Those guys that go really fast.
Okay. You know, mm-hmm. Me and, sometimes.
And you score 28 points and a half. Look at Florida State at the beginning of this season.
Mm-hmm.
The first three games, they're boom, 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 and they're up big, and they're allowing a couple points, but not a lot. But then as the game goes on, these guys have played so many
tired
games.
Yeah.
I think your offense and your defense have to match each other. They can't be – you can't be so involved in what you're doing on your side of the ball that you don't help out the other side. They should be symbiotic. They shouldn't be two different entities. They should be working for each other. That's how I am. I defensive guys, I'm working to get the ball back to my offense. All right. That's my goal. I want to see them score a shit ton of points and we play good defense and keep giving them the ball back.
So my question is before you get to your, you know, before you go anywhere else, how do you match those together? You know, how do you what should one side do offensively do to help defensively?
I don't think it's as blanket statement as this is that, you know, it's not like a, you know, red goes with yellow type of, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Like type of just match. This matches this matches that. The mentality of what you're trying to do. So yours is all about, you know, you're big on physicality and owning the line of scrimmage. And what that's going to do for a defense is give them the ability to not only do the same, but take, you know, clock off, you know, clock that you have to be on mm-hmm. the side, and hopefully you have a lead. So when you have a lead, run the ball well, when they work off each other, now my big thing is speed. Mine's not physicality. Mine physicality is important, but I want guys that run and are coachable, that are run fast and they're coachable. That's the two things that I ask for is attitude and effort, and that mm-hmm. they're fast. Like, you know, I'm not, you know me, I'm not big on putting a big 350-pound nose tackle on the field.
Because he can't do anything.
I don't really care. It doesn't. I want guys that can run. Now, if he can run, then shoot, y'all are screwed.
We're in trouble.
Because he's big. He can run. But that's what I'm saying. I want guys that can run. And I think those two match together. I think you have to play a certain – say you're – okay, to look at Washington State when Mike Leach was there.
Oh, yeah.
They threw the ball so much, the game lasted a little longer. But the way they played, it forced other teams to try to keep up with them. So the defense knew kind of what they were going to get if they could be the one dictating in a game. If the offense could get to the point where they were dictating and their plan was working, they built their defense so that you would have to do certain things to keep up with Washington State. And then if they knew what you were going to defend, they would build their defense around what they're going to see. That makes sense. If I'm a mm-hmm. huge, you know, if I'm a big, huge physical team and we're going to smash about the ball on offense, we have to be built for two different things to happen. One, the smash mouth doesn't happen. So we're not winning the line of scrimmage. What's my defense going to do? How are we going to play? What are we going to do to get that, to get you short field, to get you different things? Maybe I need to be more aggressive. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, maybe I need to know what fits. So like an aggressive, a guy like a Don Brown who blitzes a lot makes more sense for a team that is more apt to pound the ball down the field mm-hmm. because they're gonna eat up. I know it's not working. We need to make a play because we know they can't get 70 yards in a play.
That's not what they do. Right.
So I need to get you a short field. How do I get you a short field? TFLs, turnovers. You know, you know stops in their own backfield, punting the ball into their area really deep, and then getting a three and out. That they have to punt it back on a short field, things of that nature. That's not even just a turnover or those things type of nature. And to do that, I got to blitz. You know what I'm saying? I can't sit back in base all day. But there's certain teams that they the way they play, they can control the ball or they can do these certain things that I don't need to be so aggressive defensively. I can be in my base. All right, and it comes down to do you have the players, things of that nature, obviously. But I think that's important. Now, we can get to the OC OC is an interesting thing to say that has to be your number one hire because, you know, for me, and you know me, I have no aspiration to be a head coach at all. You know, I love the defense side, but I love ball and I love coaching kids. I don't like dealing with parents. I don't like dealing with a ton of adults. You know me. So that's not like, but, you know, it probably would be the OC for me other than the strength coach, but it'd probably be the O-line, a synergy of guys that can make that. I don't need one guy that I just have to depend on to be my first hire. You can have a really good offense with a couple guys. Like they have the way. Okay, so the better way to put it is you have to have a couple guys that work together. That's the best offenses. You can go to all your guys that all your programs that are dominating on the offensive side of the ball, and I guarantee you, all of them have 5 to 6 guys on the offensive coaching staff that love each other, that love to be around each other, that know each other like best friends, that work hard, that push each other, and that do all these things. It's not just one guy running the show. So I don't know if OC is not my pick for that exact reason. I think that and the reasoning that he gave was, I get it, they need to score points, but I promise you this, you can win the game 2-0.
Yes,
it's hard, but it's
based
also,
off of, and that's based off what your defense.
Yeah, but it's and it can go both ways. Yes, you may have, if you score 30 points a game every game, and you said something of it before, but we're allowing 30 points a game. It's still a crapshoot. Your offense isn't helping my defense.
Right.
Does that make sense? You're not doing things to aid my defense.
To help us.
Because we're struggling, clearly. We're struggling, you know? Like, we're struggling, clearly, because we're allowing 30 points a game, too. And it's the same thing as if you couldn't score on offense. Because what happens in a game, because both sides of the ball can do this. You're going to have games where, if you have a great defense, where you can't stop them. Something happens. You're not doing something correctly. They don't come out with the same aggressive mentality. Something slips up somewhere, and you're going to have games where you allow 30 points. It's going to happen, no matter if you're a great defense or not. It's going to happen. And the same thing can be said for offense. You're going to get on offense at times, and no matter how high-powered you are, both of us played on a high-powered offense, and you're going to have games where you score 14 points.
14.
And you got to figure out how to win. So that's why I said strength and conditioning coach, because I think a great one can be a big catalyst for teaching your guys how to win close games, how to win tight games, how to win, have confidence, to build that confidence through the weight room. I think they can run. I think kids can learn any scheme. I think kids are can be coached to do anything, because I think all talent's relative. You know, a lot of guys say you can't do certain things in college ball because, you know, that the college ball guys do because you don't have the talent level. Well, the talent's relative. You're not going against Division I offensive linemen
every week. Right.
You know, you're going against average high school kids. So you can do – you're average, you know. A Division I lineman on both sides of the ball is kind of – you know, they can – you know, they kind of enix each other. They kind of bounce each other off. They average They're each other same. Out. So it's right. the same thing in a high school level.
You know, and then you said something earlier – you know, if I ever do become a head coach and, you know, be an offensive guy, I'm the type of a guy person. If you hire somebody, let that person do the job.
Yep.
You know, don't, you know, let them do what you hired them for. And that's why I'm not a big fan of coaches who become head coaches and then they want to hire an OC and don't use them. But anyway, that's another thing in its own. But, you know, the way I am, you don't have one OC. You have an offensive staff.
Yep.
And you have a play caller. That's different. But all coaches at all positions, wide receiver, running back, you're game planning as if though you don't have – you game plan every week as if you're the play caller. You may not be the play caller, but you should come in every Saturday or Sunday, whenever you just have to meet, with a game plan of, all right, well, if I was the OC, you know, this is how we should do
it. Because,
you know,
if you're silent on Friday nights and you got no suggestions, you know,
then what are you there for?
That's what I'm saying. Just watch the game on TV. You did your job for the first 4 days. You got to be a game day coach and a practice coach.
You know, as we were said, you know, we heard plenty of times you're REW, you know, you're a ride, eat, watch player. That's all you want to do. Ride the bus, eat our food, watch the game. You know, and you have to be a football coach. That means, you know, and I don't like it, but I truly hate when the receiver coach try to tell the O-lineman what to do, but
I'm separate there. I think everybody should be even playing, but I do think that it should be, you know, honest and it should be open on from both sides, receiver coach, offensive line coach, and it should be a culture that's not toxic, but is all trying to reach, you know, there's a way to correct, and that's a whole nother.
Yes,
that's a whole nother coaching style. That's my coaching style. That's a whole nother podcast. So, if you can, listeners, shoot us, either one of us, a direct message or, you know, tag us on Twitter. If you need to know our Twitter accounts, mine's at First Gen. That's 1STGENCOACH. First Gen Coach.
Spit that out like a ball of fire.
Yeah, you do when you do a lot. And Coach is at Coach W Stock, STOCK.
I'm glad you knew that. I couldn't figure that one out.
Send us what you think. Your first hire, you know, you're a head coach. Who's the first hire? Who's the most important adult other than the head coach in the program? All right.
And no, there's no right or wrong answer. It's what you believe. And then come see if you say something about, man, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, we're here to help you and you're here to help us. That's our slogan.
One big.
Yep.
Well,
so that'll be our episode, guys. We appreciate you. If you could subscribe to the podcast, leave us a review. Tell us how we can get better. You know, we like to be coached too. We're both coachable. We like to be coached. Tell us what we're doing well. Tell us what we can work on. Give us if you want to see us talk about something particular. You know, I will, especially if it's on the defensive side of the ball. We're both learners, and we love doing this, and we love to learn. We love to coach kids. So, as I said, hit that. You can also go to YouTube and type in both sides of the ball. There's a lot more visuals over there, so it's not us talking back and forth. You know, talking. This is more, you know, program stuff.
Yeah,
but some of that's going to be more schematic X and O's, get you to look at how to do different things and give you visual
the
aids.
Teach stuff, the fun
yep.
stuff.
Yep. this is the stuff. Fun stuff. This is the stuff that wins you games.
That's true, especially at this time, off season time.
Yep. So that'll be all for us. Thank you, guys, and I'll see you later.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.